Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
On Unsportsmanlike, they did the quarterback pressure rankings, and it's the time for pressure rankings, people. So we're doing the Memphis Sports pressure rankings. Jeffrey and I each have our top 10 list. Who's your number 10, Jeffrey? We'll alternate.
Jeff, I put it number 10. I put Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway. He's on my list a little higher than 10. Why is he 10 for you?
10 for me because I do really like the stability that the program has been under. I do think we oftentimes kind of forget he was learning on the job, and I do feel much better about how he runs his program now than I did 3 years ago.
But it's essentially saying no pressure or very little pressure. And he's going to the eighth season. He's won one NCAA tournament game. Isn't there an argument for more pressure on Penny?
It always comes back down to the same point that you and I always make. Or else what?
And he's Penny. I don't have him in the top. I'll say this. I don't have him in the top five. I have Brandon Lewis at 10 for me.
He was on my others receiving votes.
Let's talk about others receiving votes. I had Zach Edey on others receiving votes.
He made my list.
He made your list. Okay, well, we'll wait on him. And then I wondered about Gigi, you know, like, is Gigi going to be an NBA player or not? Is he on your others receiving votes or on your list?
So I had the clump of Gigi, Vince.
I had Gigi and Vince.
Yeah.
In your list or on others receiving votes?
Others receiving votes.
Yeah, I had him others receiving votes too. I had Bill Hardgrave as others receiving votes.
So I kind of lump
him with Ed Scott somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. That's right. I didn't have him. I have Ed Scott on my list, but I don't have. But Brandon Lewis, he is the quarterback for this team, ostensibly. He's got guys looking over his shoulder. He's not had a winning record as quarterback, and he is succeeding Seth Hennigan and is expected to lead this team to a conference title game. I think there is, like, we don't know him, anything, you know, but
sure.
I think there is some pressure on Brandon Lewis. It's certainly.
We know he's a sharp dresser.
More than any other Memphis football player, right?
So the reason why I did not include him is because I'm just not convinced he's going to be the quarterback for the season.
Okay. So that's my 10. And your 10 was?
Penny.
All right. I'll go 9. My 9 is Tuomas Isolo.
Okay, he made my list. He's a little higher.
And I have him on the list, but only that high because I thought about leaving him off altogether. He's a first-year coach,
yep,
et cetera. And they obviously like him a lot, right? And I think there's more pressure on other people in that organization than the head coach. But he has his things he believes in, and if they don't work, NBA coaches are imminently disposable. You could literally be gone by the All-Star break. If it doesn't work, and he moved his family here from Europe. So I have him on my list, but not that high because in the end, he's a first-year coach. I think he will be, I think he will be given some grace because he's a first-year coach, but probably more pressure than your average first-year coach, right?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say Edelman at Denver probably has more pressure on him because you've got Jokic, and you know, it, anytime you've got that type of player, for the reasons you listed, is actually why I put him high. The guy that he's replacing,
is he in your top five?
He is in my top five.
He's in your top five.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can discuss that. You know, Mike Brown is under more pressure, right? In the next.
Yep.
I think Mike Brown is under more pressure, but that's fine. I can have Isolo higher than that. He's my number nine. Who's your number nine?
My number nine was Cedric Coward, and I get it. He is a rookie, whatnot. But to me, he's under a different type of pressure. It's not the type of pressure of, okay, you've got to elevate this team. But he is under the pressure of, okay, we need to see the flashes. We need to see what we quote unquote think we drafted, so that you can feel good about, okay, if this is going to work, it's this guy is going to
be.
He's
not on my list because I think the pressure on Cedric Coward is really the pressure on the people who picked Cedric Coward. I don't think there's particular pressure on him. I think the pressure is on the people who picked him, but I like that pick. Okay, who's eight?
Number eight is the people that picked him, Zach Kleiman. And so I think had I done this exercise last year, I think Zach would have been much higher. But I think what we kind of learned through this turbulent and dramatic...
You think the reset has taken the pressure off of Kleiman?
I have. And also, I think to a certain degree, Robert Pera kind of proved like he trusts Kleiman, and he has a little bit more rope than I think I believed he did last year.
So you have Isolo under more pressure than Kleiman.
Yes.
I have Kleiman higher. I have Kleiman in my top five because I agree with everything you said. I think he has definitely not just reset the team. He has reset his own timetable by resetting the team, right? And I think we believe, and I said all along, the organization has faith in Kleiman. Having said that, if things go badly for this team, if Cedric Coward looks like a flop, if Desmond Bain is lighting it up,
sure,
and Orlando is crushing it, if I think as much faith as there has been in Zach Kleiman, again, he's not my top 10, and I bet a lot of our listeners would have him in top five, maybe even one.
And to be clear, we're doing an entire city's worth of sports.
Yes, but so...
cracking the top 10.
You have him. He is in my top five. He's in your top 10. Okay. So my, you've gone so far, Penny 10, Coward 9, Kleiman 8.
Yes.
I've gone Brendan Lewis 10, Isolo 9. I'm going Ed Scott 8. The reason that I don't have Hardgraves, I have them together. And the reason that I have them, I imagine you have them higher.
Yes.
The reason why I don't have them higher is I don't think people expect anything from them. Like, sure, get into a conference, but nobody expects them to get into a conference. So it's a little bit like being the coach of a team with no expectations that is all of a sudden elevates this team. Is there pressure on Ed Scott and Bill Hardgrave to make it work and figure out the future at Memphis? Yes. But if he doesn't, if Ed Scott doesn't by this time next year, if they're in the exact same situation in the conference, no one's going to be saying Ed Scott's a failure because he didn't do what he was paid to do. So I do think there is pressure on him. Hell, pressure to fill that stadium, pressure to fill both stadiums, pressure to fill both stadiums, to continue to raise money. Maybe I should have him higher for those. I think there are pressures of the job on him, but I don't think there's pressure. I don't think if the reason you have him on there is because he's under pressure to get to a better conference, because I don't think people expect him to.
So I'll explain later why I have him higher. I get what you're saying, but I have a kind of a little different point of view on that.
So
are we up to seven?
Isolo, Ed Scott is eight. I'm at seven, and I put Ryan on there at seven. And Ryan for me, I'll tell you, Ryan, Penny and Ryan for me are six and seven. Penny six and Ryan seven. I struggled. Who's under more pressure?
So I have Ryan higher, the problem though is I keep coming back to, even though I have him higher, or else what? Like, I don't think this team's going to collapse.
I don't think either of them are under any threat, barring disaster, really, of being fired. Penny would, like, if Penny had a really bad year this year and he were not Penny, he would be fired, right? If he had a really bad year this year, if you take the off the court stuff and a bad year.
I'll say this.
Guy who was Joe Hardaway would be fired.
It would be easy to do it.
Yeah, he would be fired. I think it's harder for Ryan. Ryan has, quote unquote, Ryan has been, over the last 2 years, they are 21-5, and they aren't going to lose. They aren't going to lose seven games. They're just not. So what's the pressure? Here's the truth. He has a bad year. He wins seven games. He has a really, really bad year. He wins seven games, and he gets another year automatically on his contract. How is that much pressure? There's pressure on Ryan maybe to get another job or to get to, but
I think the biggest pressure is, despite all those things that you just said, the fan base does not believe in him.
I think that's true.
And again, is there something that can change? I don't know. I mean, everyone loves a winner. Like, is there a way? Like, I think after the Florida State win, I do think the fan base was ready. Like, that's the other thing about fan bases.
Yeah, they wanted to get on board.
They want to.
Signature win.
Correct. Everybody wants to support their team. They want to be with their guy. We got our guy. And then you flip right around and the Navy game happens.
You think there's more pressure on Ryan than Penny, though. You had Penny at 10. And you have Ryan higher than this.
Yes, because
let's go here. So my bottom, my 10 through 5 are Brendan Lewis, Tuomas Isolo, Ed Scott, Ryan Silverfield, and Penny Hardaway. That's seven. Yep. That's counting down from up. Who are your 10 to 6? Who is that? Penny's 10, Coward's 9, Kleiman's 8. Who are 7 and 6?
I mean, I know this isn't sports pressure, but I put Sincere Parker at 6.
Okay, at 6.
Yeah.
Well, there's definitely some pressure on Sincere Parker. I would say that was a different category that I wasn't addressing.
Uh-huh, but I did put him at 6.
Okay, who'd you have at 7?
I put Zach Edey at 7.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So I thought about Edey. He's in my other receiving votes. Why is Zach Edey under pressure?
I think, like, yes, it stinks with the whole injury and whatnot, but, like, he is another part of the, okay, if you're going to see how this is going to work in the reimagining, it really needs to build upon what he was starting to do at the end of the season, when he was starting to get more comfortable, when he was starting to offer things that you could see. Like, when he was off the floor and you realize, like, they can't get a rebound. Like, I think he is under pressure to feel like he's still progressing.
The injury, you're right, delays it all. So there's a certain amount of pressure to recover from injury.
Yes.
Like, whatever. There's a certain – but then – you want to, anyway, in year two, you want to see a big leap, just generally.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you have this situation now where he is, all right, fine. It didn't work out that well for you the first half because you weren't used correctly. Now you're being used correctly. You're setting screens. We want you to learn to see that you actually can finish at the rim and be the player that you were in college. And you are an integral part. Like, no, Jalen Wells isn't on either of our lists, right? Because we expect a leap from Edey in a way that we don't expect.
Yes.
a leap. Is there any other? Well, no, I won't do that. So I can co-sign having Edey on the list. He was my first one that I left off the list because in the end, if he's not great, so what? He's
well.
Still
the up. Other problem though I have is, like, yes, they can do other things, but. If he's not good, they're not real answers on the team already.
That's true too. Okay. I think you're making a compelling case for pressure on Zach Edey. All right. Top five. I'll go. Well, I bet my five is higher on your list. So who's your five?
My five is Tuomas Isolo.
Isolo. And why do you have him where you have him?
The previous coach won a lot of basketball games, and everything that you just laid out, he's going to have a system and a way of doing things. If it doesn't work, like, I just think it's going to be a whole lot easier to move on. And I also think what is interesting about this season is what happens to them if they get off to a slow start? Because you're not going to have Edie.
He will be. What will happen then is, again, is this going to be on Isolo or is this going to be on Kleiman? What will happen is you'll immediately hear, my God, he wasn't good last year. They didn't. When they named him coach, they did not instantly turn it around. And he made mistakes, some very visible mistakes. And they didn't even do a search.
Right.
And what kind of a – and, okay, I'm kind of going with – and he's got the pressure of being a European coach.
Exactly.
He said he's felt that. He feels that pressure.
Sure.
People are going to very quickly turn on him and saying, what a moronic hire.
He's got a lot of things working against him.
I think you're right. You've convinced me I have him too low. I have him at 9. I think there's more pressure on Isolo than I confess to. Now, this person is certainly higher on your list. He's my 5. But I have reasons. Ja Morant.
Okay, I lumped him.
What?
I lumped him.
You lumped him?
Yes.
We should have had a no lumping rule. Ja Morant is.
But he is higher on my list, yes.
What?
But they are higher on my list.
So you lumped him with.
Jaren.
So I don't. I think he's. Jaren isn't on my list. And Jaren isn't on my list because he just got his contract. And so what? And he's not the focal point. He may be, in fact, the most effective player, but he's not the focal point. He just got his contract, and in the end, you know, he's going to wear nice clothes and tell people to vote. And I don't think Jaren's under particular pressure. Why do you think Jaren's under pressure?
So I think they're both under pressure because Jaren, yet again, did not have a great playoff performance. Like, he wasn't bad. It wasn't as drastic maybe as some other playoff performances. But it certainly wasn't like a stamp of, okay, this problem is solved. And then the reason why I lumped him with Ja is, to me, like, they've now sorted everything out. All right, these are the two guys. Like, it was the big three or the core three, right. Whatever it was, however we phrased it.
Are they number one for you?
No, they're three.
Okay. I there's very clearly pressure on Ja, pressure to stay healthy, pressure to reassert himself as being one of the compelling players in the league, pressure to show that he's the leader of this team, pressure to continue to have a off the court record that he can be proud of, pressure to be the face of the franchise, and everything he does is scrutinized.
An intense
to say there's not pressure. Now, in the end, the reason I don't have him higher is he still fails, and you know what? He's Ja Morant. He's still got gazillion dollars of whatever, like, what a failure he has been of late, you know, in terms of staying healthy, producing in the, you know, leading the team to meaningful wins. And if you go all the way back to the off the court stuff,
yep.
It's been a pretty iffy track record for Ja over the past 3 years, and he's still a celebrity in China.
No,
he's still Ja Morant.
I'm with you. What I wonder about those, the reason why I lump them together is, now that they've cleared everything out,
they've bet on those two.
Correct. And if it's not working, then you start to get into this. The organization made it about as clear as possible. Ja Morant is a Memphis Grizzly. They're not entertaining anything. And yet, look at how loud the noise got around moving Ja Morant, whatnot. It's only going to get louder if they're sitting there in January outside looking in at the play-in. And you know what I mean?
All right, so I had you at Isolo 5, I had Ja 5. I have Kleiman, I'll say this because we talked about him earlier, at 4. And the reason is that if Kleiman fails, and if this experiment fails, if this reset fails, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll get another GM job. Maybe, probably. Like, you know,
He's young enough, but it's not clear. Yeah.
It's his baby, and now he's taken his second run at it. And so I had Kleiman at 4 and Ja at 5. Who do you have at 4?
At number 4, I put Ryan Sorfield. And so the point that I was going to make to you is that, okay, we can also say filling the building is an Ed Scott question, but to me it really boils down to, like, with Ryan Sorfield, it's like, how are you going to, in this era where not many people care about the games, it's like, can you prove in a year where you're not the favorite to make the AAC title game, can you actually get it done? Because you were pointing towards last year And as I've always pointed out, Tennessee didn't win the national title with Peyton Manning. They won it the next year with T. Martin. It's like when you kind of have made a little bit of the reset, nobody's expecting much from you. Can you show that you're more than just putting a team together? Have you really built a program?
All right. My three off the board here, Alex Simmons is three. She's the women's basketball coach at Memphis. And I really do believe, like, she is someone who, if she doesn't win this year, she will be fired. And women's basketball should be, like, we're seeing everywhere that women's basketball matters all of a sudden. Like, we know that women's soccer is a success here. We know that men's soccer is a success here. We know that men's tennis is a success here. Why can't women's basketball be a success at the University of Memphis? And it has not been, and this is going to be year three for her. I think it is, again, like, she's not the most high-profile pressure.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to be talking about it every day. But I think she knows, I suspect, that this is a critical year for her. And I think women's basketball should be better at the University of Memphis.
So the reason why I left it off, I think everything you said there is fair. The reason why I left it off is I think women's basketball has become a vanity project. When you look at the schools that win,
right,
it's schools that either have a tradition and they're willing to spend money. But all of the, like, if you look at the gap between good teams and the bad teams, like, all these great players are just clustering up at the certain places that are paying. And I'm just not convinced that Memphis is, like, in the game.
Who is three for you?
Three for me was Ja and Jaren.
Ja and Jaren is three, which we've discussed. Okay. I'm going to tell you who my one and two are, and they're kind of lumped. They're kind of lumped, but it's the same reason.
All right.
Two is Paul Young.
Okay.
And one is Jason Wexler.
Okay.
And I have them because the most important thing, as we discussed last week, is getting a new lease for the Grizzlies, right? You don't want to be the mayor who loses the Grizzlies.
No.
And so I thought about putting Paul Young number one. Like, he's got to deliver. And what we know, what in order to get a longer Grizzlies lease, a Grizzly new lease, he's got to create a safe city that he's delivering to the Grizzlies. Persuade them that this is a city that you want to be invested in. Make things happen. But Wexler, I think, honestly, like, he is in that ownership management group, he is the Memphian. He's a real estate guy in Memphis. He cares deeply about the city of Memphis. His money is invested in the city of Memphis. And he, by the way, in addition to, he's president of the entire organization. But they got to figure out the TV deal. Like, they got a million things. He's got to fix the city. He's got to figure out the TV deal. He's got to come up with a new lease. He's got to, like, do I think there is more pressure on Jason Wexler than any other? And he's a Memphian. Like, in the end, if for some, and I don't think they're going to up and leave, but if they did up and leave, like, he'd be still here, you know? So my number one and number two are really for the same thing. It's because the future of that franchise is at stake. And number two is Paul Young, and number one is Jason Wexler.
Okay, so the reason why I left Wexler off my list is that more times than not, the critical decisions are not going to really be his call. So if we take the...
It won't be his call. But I think he's got to create the circumstances that make the Grizzlies want to stay.
I view him more as, like, kind of the intermediary. Like, he is the go-between.
So who are you putting two and one?
So two, I have Ed Scott, Bill Hargrave. I lumped them together. And so
And what's your reason for having them where they
So that? I'm with you in the sense of it's not going to get held against them if they don't get to the Big 12, if they don't get to a power league. But what I do think is the incredible pressure is you've got to pick what is – we've seen plenty of G5 mid-major programs. Once upon a time, Southern Miss had a great football program. And they banked on the wrong.
The future of a proud future of Memphis athletics is in their hands.
Correct. And you've got to navigate very complicated waters because I think a lot of times you're probably going to have to pick between, all right, is this going to be the right spot to wind up? Is that going to be the right spot? You're going to have to project out and it's not going to be like a clear, this is the right spot to go to.
Well, the stakes are incredibly high for Memphis. The only reason I had them lower was I don't think they're under imminent hell. Every administrator who has come before them has failed at this task.
Sure.
And so they Can they really be expected to do what you know, you name it, literally every day, whether it's Laird Veach or David Rudd or like all the way back, no one has done. But it is, the stakes are incredibly high for them. And so who's your number one?
My number one was Paul Young in the city of Memphis.
Paul Young in the city of Memphis. Yeah. No, we're there then. We actually, the topic for us, we both came, I just had two people representing that, and you had one person representing that. That Paul Young is the guy who's got to get this done.
Yes. For every reason that you just said.
I think our lists actually were startlingly similar.
I felt good about the names on the list. I didn't feel great about kind of my, or I, the one that I felt the most strong about was one. Like I went one and then it was started to.
Yeah. And I had those two guys. I had Young and Wexler lumped together as one and two. That's how I consider it. So anyway, there's your official two Memphis sports pressure rankings. Oh, by the way, in terms of Memphis football, John has a column up, and I don't know how this fits into it, Jeffrey, but he points out that according to Las Vegas, Memphis is now, this is a column that John has up at the Daily Memphian, Memphis is the fourth favorite.
Yep.
Is this, you think, the lowest they've been under Ryan's tenure, literally since he got the job? Have they ever been picked lower?
I thought
maybe early, ago, when, like, of course, early on, Cincinnati, UCF were still in the conference. Houston.
So I want to say it was fifth.
First year of Seth, maybe?
Well, because we also.
He inherited a program that was crushing it with Brady White as quarterback.
I think the second year, they probably had to be lower. I thought there was a year in the Seth era where they were picked fifth in the league. I mean, the thing is.
It's weird, though. What's weird is that. The expectations, it's time to get to the conference title game, are sort of descending at the same time that it feels less likely than ever that they'll get to the conference title.
It feels like a reset almost. Like it's like the, you know, all right, well, we're transitioning from, we brought in like a stopgap quarterback, or we're going to turn to AJ.
And this is the year that people are going to say, it's time, Ryan.
The thing that I do like, though, I do like their schedule this year in the league. So this year you get at FAU, you're going to be a road favorite. Tulsa, you're going to be a massive favorite. At UAB, massive road favorite. You get USF at home, you get Tulane at home, and you get Navy at home. So your three toughest games are all at home.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.